Direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, so very grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio on this Friday session. I want to take some time to talk to you about the importance of the church and membership in a church. This is going to be a touchy subject for many today. We live in a day where this is not valued. In fact, many would believe that the scriptures don't even teach that we should have membership or should belong to a church. And so this is one of those kind of taboo, stay away from subjects. But we have to look at the whole counsel of God and consider carefully what the Lord says about the church. And let me just say, what I fear is going to happen here in America, since the church has become such a show, everything being an event, a program-oriented thing, that ultimately it's not filling people. It's not providing any real substance. It's just weak and shallow, and it doesn't really change lives. It provides temporary fixes and makes people feel better about themselves, but there's nothing ultimately life-changing in it. There's nothing that brings to bear the truth on the conscience so as to drive sinners to Christ because of the law and to free them from bondage. It's a shopping mall kind of mentality. We have churches that even look like shopping malls. And everything is a kind of quick fix spirituality. I fear that soon what's going to happen is we're going to look a lot like Europe. The church is dead in Europe. There's no life in the church in Europe. Everyone is emptied out of the church in Europe. That's coming if we don't have some serious reform and people begin to take seriously what church is. You can't do church on the internet. You can't do church even on radio. That's my fear, is that we've forgotten how God specially works today, because the message is so out there that we don't hold anymore a special thing that happens when God's people gather together. And that's where I want to begin, because the Lord makes this very clear that He has raised up, He has sent men to preach the gospel. As wonderful as radio is, and that we have this blessing, it is not a substitute for church. What does it mean to be a member of a church? People don't always understand what it means to be a member of the church. They understand, I guess, that it's some kind of formal commitment, something like a marriage. But we've always believed in the Protestant Christian faith that to be a member of a church, to belong to a local church, is not an option, but it's a biblically mandated necessity. Some might argue, well, the Bible only commands us to worship together as Christians. It doesn't tell us that we have to become members of a local church. Well, you may not find a explicit text that commands church membership, but it does infer it. God gives many things that we deduce from what we call good and necessary inference, meaning that we see the pattern laid down for us in Scripture, and we base our practice on that. But we do have explicit commands, that being said. Let me give you Hebrews 10, 21 through 25. "And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Now here we go. "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now there's always been a problem. Notice what's said there in Hebrews, of some people thinking they don't have to gather together on the Lord's Day and worship. And I'm just going to be very blunt and very serious with you today. If you're doing that, you're living in perpetual sin before God. God is not pleased with that. You can't tell me you love God and not the church for which He died. You can't tell me that Jesus Christ, whom you say you love sitting on the sidelines, you refuse to be a part of the very body for which he gave his life. That comes to expression as you locally join that phenomenon where Christians gather, where a faithful church is doing its job and ministering the gospel, and you have the opportunity, as Hebrews says here, to draw near and to do what? Hold fast your confession together. To do what? Serve one another, stimulate one another to love and good deeds. To not forsake the assembling, but you have the responsibility to encourage your brethren. This is how you're kept for the coming day that is coming. So, this is what the Lord has outlined for us. In fact, if you want to challenge this even further and say that the Lord doesn't require membership, what it doesn't, think about Matthew 18. Jesus outlined the process of going to somebody when they've sinned. If someone sinned against you, you go to them. If that person won't hear, then you take somebody else. But what happens if that's not heard? Christ says, tell it to the church so that he will be treated like a tax collector and a heathen. Now, when you tell it to the church is going to exercise discipline. What does that presuppose? What good is it to tell it to the church if you have no membership in the church? What good is it to exercise discipline if the church doesn't know the person? There it is presupposed that there is some kind of formal commitment at a local level to join yourself to the body of Christ, which is dispersed all over the face of the world. 1 Timothy 3:15 calls the church the household of God. It is God's family. We are not just individuals. That's the crucial point here, isn't it? We live in a day of rugged individualism. Everyone doing their own thing, getting their own spirituality. Sorry, God has never dealt that way. Can you imagine somebody in Israel saying, we're not going to join together at the tabernacle for worship? They were cut off from Israel. We are not just individuals, but we are part of a family, and we are called to be committed to that family. And the way that family comes to expression is in both the church universal and the church local. And that is what is described in Ephesians chapter 2, if you read that. The idea of church membership is also derived from our understanding of the covenant. So in membership, what we're doing is we're formally making a promise to God. We're making a promise to God to honor him, to glorify him, to attend to his means of grace. But you're also making a promise to his people. So, in membership, you are assuming certain responsibilities or obligations. You're saying, I'm going to be faithful in worship. I'm going to submit my life to the admonition of Scripture under those whom God has called to rule over me. I'm going to exercise my gifts. While at the same time, you get the promise of certain privileges in membership. You're going to get shepherding of elders. God sets aside men to love you and to care for you. Diaconal aid. If you have a need, you have a family who's going to provide for you. You have the sacraments given. You have the fellowship of the body. The old Protestant creeds and confessions said this. This is the Belgic Confession in 1561. We believe that this whole assembly and congregation is the gathering of those who are saved and that there's no salvation apart from it. No one ought to withdraw from it, talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. Content to be by himself, regardless of his status or condition, but all people are obliged to join and unite with it, keeping the unity of the church by submitting to its instruction and discipline, by bending their necks under the yoke of Jesus Christ, and by serving to build up one another according to the gifts God has given them as members of each other in the same body. Now, this is really important. I want you to think about it. When a person floats from church to church or treats the church like a menu at the Chinese restaurant or locally attends the church without regularly intending to become a member. Now listen, this is very important. There is no real obligation to use his or her gifts because there's been no formal commitment. So listen, that person receives all the privileges of membership without any of the responsibilities. That is incredibly selfish. That is incredibly selfish. Members, on the other hand, are duty-bound to use their gifts. I mean, surely you don't want to bury your talent. Refusing to be a member of a church and using your gifts is burying your talent, burying it. Membership is not a light matter, nor is it optional. Can you imagine if you tried this mentality that we throw upon the Church of Jesus Christ down at the local weightlifting center? You walk in there and say, hey, I don't need to join. I'm just a member of the gym because I want to be. I don't need to make any formal commitment. I don't need to have any responsibility to sign no waivers, nothing. What do you think the people down at your workout facility would say to you? You know what? Get out of here. Now, we don't even do that in the church. We want people to come and attend. But the point is that think of how we're treating the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to make no commitment to him today. In a commitless world, in a world that has no commitment to much of anything, think of what you're saying. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be a part of your body that you died for. And at a local level, I want to express that because I want to be with the people that you loved, that you died for. And I want to receive from the one you send the means of grace that's able to save my soul. So I want to leave you with a few things to think about then in membership. What should you be looking for in this area? In Whatcom County, there's over 100 churches to choose from. The Bible never teaches us to treat the church like a smorgasbord, to go wherever the food is best that particular week. The Bible gives us direction. Is the pure preaching of the gospel being done? Are they preaching the word, not seeking to entertain you? Do they love you enough to discipline you if you go wayward? Do they give you the means of grace and the sacraments? Michael Horton, professor at Westminster Theological Seminary in California, list some questions to ask the pastor of your church you're considering joining. What is the church's view of Scripture? Is it infallible? Is it the only ultimate authority for faith and practice? Number two, what is the church's confession of faith? Where does that minister stand on it? And is it the criterion for the teaching and preaching of God's word? If you really get lucky, you might even find a church that still uses its catechism today. A confession of faith is not equal to Scripture, but it does set forth what the church body believes God's word teaches and expects us to know. A catechism is simply a means of instruction about that confession of faith, usually in question and answer approach, with biblical text supporting each answer. In many consistent churches that are faithful to their confessional documents, one may find Sunday school curriculum that follows it all the way from preschool to the twilight years. This is important because it organizes our thoughts about God and the reading of Scripture into a coherent, clear, systematic whole. Number three, is the service conducted as God's meeting with his people to give them his grace and for them to respond in thanksgiving, or is it modeled on entertainment? Number four, is Jesus Christ proclaimed as a moral hero or as a redeemer? Is he made to sound like a politician, an end-time seer, or Freud or Ben Franklin or whatever? Or is the preaching concerned with Christ and him crucified, as Paul put it? Membership is a wonderful blessing, and I pray that we would reorient our thinking to be a part of the glorious body of Christ, that we might serve one another. Showing your neighbor your love, joining with the body that Christ died, that we might proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. Please write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, and check out our website. Podcasts available at agradio.org. Thanks again for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.